Hi, I'm Jenny, and I'm at Prentice Women's Hospital, and I just had a baby. And you're listening to Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Did you now? Well, how about that? Talk about just, you know, investigative journalism, just getting the microphone in the maternity ward, you know? Thank you, wife. Appreciate that. That's Jenny. Oh, man. This is Outside the Loop. I am Mike Steven. This is Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. This is show number 544. And what we do here on this program is take a look at local issues and topics that don't always get mainstream media attention. And we're broadcasting live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in the... I almost said in the Showcase Studio. That's what I just said. What's happening here? Oh, yeah, in the Tribune Tower. That's where we're broadcasting from this morning. Everything's going great. Be sure to say on Facebook. I promise it gets better. Also on Twitter, at Outside the Loop is the handle. Andy Herman is judging me because he's the producer of the show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you?
So good to see you this morning. Oh. Always happy to be with you on a Saturday morning.
Well, thank you, Andy.
It's the best part of my week.
Man, I love you. Veronica Carter's in the newsroom. Hi, Veronica.
Good morning.
So, all right, here's the deal. So we do the little intro there, and that was from 2 years ago. That was almost to the day 2 years ago, because on Monday, it's my son's two-year birthday.
Aw, how sweet. Happy birthday to him.
Well, thank you. Little Mikey is his name, and he...
That's his name, his Christian name, Little Mikey.
We baptized him Little Mikey. That's what it was. Anyway, so Jenny, my wife, you know, just gave birth to Mikey. And, you know, not much time transpired. And then I said, hold on a second. Let me get the recorder out. We got to cut an intro for OTL.
Always dedicated to the show. I love that about you.
Always working for the program, Andy, for the people.
I used to have a news director who told all of us young recruits that if anything bad ever happens to you, make sure you get me two voicers and a couple of extra sound bites before you go on. And he meant go on like up or down, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, I think about that too with movies. Like, you know, do you, like, immediately when you sign on an actor, like, let's start shooting immediately. Let's get this going, because if anything were to happen to you, I want to get all the footage in the can, you know?
Let's do the ending first so we
Exactly. That's like Andy has built up just a collection of Mike Steven sound bites just in case I oversleep. He has pieced together an entire show.
We have multiple shows at the ready.
That's right.
Just you saying non sequiturs.
Yep. Just award-winning.
It's going to be the best radio ever.
Award-winning material, Andy. Oh, I should also mention this. This is very exciting. You know, we heard my wife in the hospital just down the street from where we are right now at Northwestern. We'll be back there in September because little Mikey's going to have her brother or sister.
Oh,
what?
Congratulations.
Yes. So that's our big announcement.
Oh, wow.
I wondered if you were up to something when I saw that intro.
Well, obviously he was.
Yeah, clearly.
Because we reused some of them, but that one was only used once.
That introduction that we just played,
I believe, was only used
2 years ago.
Yeah. And now I'm like, why did this come back?
That's right.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. So September. So
wow.
I've been talking to my wife to talk to our unborn child. We don't know if it's a boy or a girl yet. We will find out. We'll let you know. I'm trying to get the vibes into her tummy to our child. Don't come out like on a Friday night or Saturday morning, because daddy has to do the show.
Well, we have that show at the ready. We just spoke about that.
Well, that's
all my Mike Steven collection audio clips.
Yeah, but we need to update it because we'll be talking about like President Obama policies.
Oh, yeah.
This will be in September. So,
all right.
Yeah, we should probably.
We'll set up a recording session.
You know, I've been doing the show for 11 years. That'd be great. Like, and another thing about Mayor Daley, if that was the recorded show. So that's our big announcement. We are so excited, blessed, so happy. Thank you. Just beyond thrilled.
And well
so,
done.
Well, thank you. It was all me, you know? I'm the guy. Anyway, happy to be here, your guy, on Saturday morning. Did you see what I just did there, Andy? Did you see that transition?
You need more applause for that.
Thank you.
Well done.
Profesh. Coming up later this hour, we will head over to the Bucktown neighborhood, and we'll meet the creator of a new social startup that's been working on community-based art projects with local schools. It's called We All Live Here, and it's a really cool organization that was started pretty recently. Before that, we check in with our good pal Steve Krakow for another edition of The Secret History of Chicago Music. Steve is a local musician and artist, and this week he's profiled local blues harmonica player Forest City Joe from the 1940s and 50s. So we'll check that out. But first, how is the infrastructure in Illinois doing? Well, we find out from an engineer if we make the grade when it comes to our infrastructure. Stay tuned. This is Outside the Loop. I'm Mike Steven. We'll be back after these here on WGN. Yeah, 720 WGN. Good morning. Mike Steven here along with you on Outside the Loop. Happy Saturday to you. And right now, listening to some local music from Capital Soiree. Check them out online, soundcloud.com/Capital Soiree. They have a show tomorrow over at Subterranean in Wicker Park. That's 2011 West North Avenue. Some nice rock and roll and pop music from right here in Chicago. They've been playing since 2013 each week. I love to feature your local music this week, hearing some jams from Capital Soiree. You know when you're driving under a bridge and it looks like that bridge or overpass could be falling apart? Well, chances are it's falling apart. A professional group of engineers called the American Society of Civil Engineers recently released the National Infrastructure Report Card, and Illinois fared better than the nation overall, which is a good thing, but we still have some problems we're working out. Darren Olson is the co-chair of the Infrastructure Report Card Committee for the American Society of Civil Engineers Illinois section, and he is on the phone with us this morning to talk about this report card. Darren, welcome to WGN. Nice to talk to you.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
So this is pretty important because we talk about the infrastructure of our state and our nation, and obviously we want that to be good and we want that to be strong, but this report card that recently came out, I said that Illinois fared better than the nation overall. Illinois with a grade of C-. That's not as good as I would have hoped, but how did you come to this grade of a C- when we talk about the infrastructure in Illinois?
So in Illinois, we looked at a variety of different categories of infrastructure, everything from our aviation system to our roads to our transit system. And we had a panel of about 30 experts throughout the state that evaluated these different categories of infrastructure. And we graded each one. And then we developed the overall grade of a C-. And the grades ranged from aviation, which had a C+, all the way down to our navigable waterways that had a D-.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm looking at it right now. And as I look over this report card, and by the way, you can look at it, too, if you go to this website, isasce.org/report card, and we'll put that link up on our website if you want to check out that report card. I'm looking over some things here, and I'm seeing these grades, and again, it's broken down aviation, bridges, dams, drinking water, navigable water, rail, roads, transit, and wastewater, and I see something like drinking water C-, and that kind of freaks me out because that is a little bit less than mediocre, requires some immediate attention. Let's just take the drinking water. Why a C-?
You know, the drinking water, the quality of that water that we drink is actually very good. It's really the systems that deliver that water to each household are the ones that are, in some cases, over 100 years old. The city of Chicago is currently replacing water mains that were put in Civil War era. And so, and some of them were even made of wood. It's the age of that infrastructure that is bringing that high quality drinking water to your home that is getting very, very old, and it's underground, so not many people know it's there, and we don't really pay attention to it until there's a major water main failure. And so that's really one of the main purposes of our report card, is to look at all these different infrastructure categories and be able to assess them before a major catastrophe happens.
Yeah, and again, just picking off some things that I'm seeing here, at the low end, roads, and I think this might come as a surprise to nobody, but a D-plus for roads. And I think in Chicago, we might complain about, oh my goodness, it's the winter, and then the winter goes away, and then there's Pothole City. But, you know, we talk about just beyond that as well. We talk about the tollway system and the expressway system and the repairs that are necessary for all the people that we have living in this area. So, again, the roads at a D-plus, is that because we are not repairing them quickly enough or as quick as we should? Or it's just because we have so many people that live in this area now?
You know, a little bit of both. And actually, the road grade improved from the last time we did it in 2010. The road grade was a D, and it actually went up to a D plus because the tollway and the interstate system, really the tollway, I should say, has done a lot of work and a lot of planning for additional work, such as the Elgin O'Hare and some major infrastructure projects, which has actually helped the road grade. But the amount of traffic on the road is increasing. Between 1990 and 2012, the amount of people and traffic on our roadways increased 25%. And when you think about that sort of increase in the amount of traffic, and what are we doing to increase the capacity of the roads, we're just not keeping up. We're improving, but we're just not keeping up.
And so we sit here, we look at this report card, and I'm scanning it right now, and I see a lot of D's and C's. And I guess I'm just wondering, how did we get to this position of having D's and C's on a report card like this? Because when it comes to things like wastewater, D plus, rail, C, you know, I'm looking at bridges, C plus. How did we get here? Is it just because we're not spending enough money on this stuff?
It all comes down to investment. And we need to invest in our infrastructure. And where we have invested, you look at a grade like rail, a C. Rail jumped a whole grade level. It was at a D in our previous report card, mm-hmm. but there was a lot of foresight and a lot of planning and a lot of investment in our rail system in Illinois over the past 5 years that brought that grade up. And even when we go back in history and look at the Clean Water Act, when we look at either wastewater or drinking water, there was a period of time where it was a priority in our both federal and state legislative system that sort of infrastructure was a priority, and we invested in it. And unfortunately, we have not done much to that infrastructure since then. Very similar to the roads, you know, back in the Eisenhower administration, roads and the interstate system was a priority. We invested a lot. It was in a good condition then, and we've just really neglected to invest in our infrastructure since then.
Do we have any bright spots? You mentioned some grades have gone up, and even though they're not where we would like them, there has been some improvement in Illinois. Any bright spots that you see?
You know, we do hear a lot of discussion, whether it's at the federal level or at the state level, of capital plans and infrastructure investment and unique financial mechanisms to invest in infrastructure, whether it's a public-private partnership. And so there are some good ideas out there, but it really, there needs to be leadership at the federal level and certainly at the state level when we talk about being unable to pass a budget at the state level. How do you invest in your infrastructure? These large projects are 5-10 year projects when you don't have a state budget this year, and you don't know if you're going to have a state budget next year. So we see some good signs, but then there are these large roadblocks at the state level, especially that would allow us to really make those long-term investments in infrastructure. Short-term investments are great, but really what's needed for infrastructure, because it's such large projects, you need a long-term investment and commitment to that infrastructure.
Yeah, it's time to get on board. We need to do something. We need to pay attention to this because we can't afford to let our infrastructure crumble. It's just way too important, and we've seen that firsthand here in Illinois with everything that we rely on. Again, check out ISASCE.org/report card if you'd like to see this report card. We will link up through WGNRadio.com and OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. Darren Olson is the co-chair of the Infrastructure Report Card Committee for the American Society of Civil Engineers, Illinois section. Darren, thank you so much for talking to us this morning. This is super important, and I appreciate all of your work.
Thanks a lot for having me. It was great.
You bet. Important stuff when we talk about our state's infrastructure. Don't go anywhere. This is Mike Steven here on Outside the Loop. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back here on 720 WGN. I like it. 720 WGN. Good morning. This is Outside the Loop. I'm Mike Steven. Happy to be here with you. Right now, listening to some local music from a band called Capital Soiree. Check them out online. SoundCloud.com/Capital Soiree. They have a show tomorrow night. That's at 8 p.m. at Subterranean in Wicker Park, right at Damon North in Milwaukee over there. Some great rock and pop music from here in Chicago. These guys have been active since 2013. Each week I love to feature local music. If you are in a band or you're a local singer-songwriter, go ahead and send us some of your tunes, your tunage. We'll put those songs on the air and mention the gigs that you've got coming up. This week, hearing some very cool synth pop rock from Capital Soiree. Why I said synth pop. I mean, there's some synth in there. But come on now. I don't know. It's good stuff, Capital Soiree. So give it a listen. Again, soundcloud.com/Capital Soiree. And occasionally in the Chicago Reader, you'll see the column The Secret History of Chicago Music. It's hand-drawn by local musician, music historian, and artist Plastic Crime Wave, also known as Steve Krakow. The strip profiles a local musician or a band who never quite made it to the big time. So right now, let's dim the lights. Let's fire up the good old hi-fi as we travel back to Chicago's Ukrainian Village neighborhood and enter
The Secret History of Chicago Music.
Man, I got a woman live on Bill Street. But I got one live on Willow Grove.
Once again, back here in the lair with Steve Krakow for The Secret History of Chicago Music. Another edition of the Winter Blues of that column. And this week, I think, pretty appropriate because, especially earlier in the week, it felt like actual winter here, which is, I gotta say, Steve, it's a little strange.
Things are very strange. Very strange.
Very strange indeed. Well, I'll tell you what's not strange. The music of Forest City Joe. That is who you profile. You're looking at some blues artists when you do the Winter Blues edition of The Secret History of Chicago Music. Blues artists that made it to Chicago or are from Chicago that maybe we've never heard of. And Forest City Joe wailing on the harp.
He really should be known. You know, a lot of these guys I cover, they're obscure. They did a couple recordings. Maybe they, you know, their time passed. But yeah, he was truly one of the great harp blowers.
Absolutely. Playing the harmonica. One of the greatest harmonica players, really. I mean, he's so under the radar. He was born in 1926, right?
Yep, pretty old school. In Arkansas, you know, it's either Mississippi or Arkansas or Georgia, one of those. And yeah, he did actually grow up on a plantation like a lot of these guys too. And yeah, he was super, super into Sonny Boy Williamson the first. That was his like big idol. But yeah, he was playing at a real early age as well.
So he picked up the harp, one of these sort of like self-taught players.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I guess as a teenager he was playing like roadhouses and juke joints and all that. pretty early on. Yeah.
Nice. And so he's playing the harmonica and he eventually makes his way up to Chicago. How does that happen? Because Chicago, at the time that he comes up here, really, I mean, we're seeing like the blues become electric. And that is in part because Chicago's a big city. It's loud here. You got to plug in to make yourself heard. And so the blues becomes electrified in Chicago. And he is a part of that. He comes up here to Chicago, continuing to wail on the harp.
Yeah, he was touring around here in the mid-40s with a guitarist, Big Joe Williams, who was an electric guy. And then he moved here in 47, and that's when he sort of started taking the Forest City Joe name, because he grew up near Forest City, which was actually spelled with two R's. So, you know, he's spelling it sort of correctly, but he sometimes went by Forest City with two R's, sometimes with R, with the single R. And yeah, he did a single for pre-Chess label called Aristocrat, and it was actually supposed to be Muddy Waters was supposed to play with him on the session. I guess last minute he didn't do it because he had a sort of undocumented band with Muddy Waters at the time, and Muddy spoke very highly of him. He said it was like one of the best harp players he ever played with. But they shoved this jazz guitarist guy, J.C. Coles, on the session, and from what I was reading on the internet, people aren't terribly fond of J.C. Coles, or thought it was a weird match.
Oh, really?
Kind of like have like a raw, heart-blowing guy and like a jazz guitarist. People were sort of like, because I guess some of the sessions came out later. Only a single came out in the day, but even later, people are kind of like, this is weird.
Really?
You know, yeah. So that was sort of like, you know, the old bunt instead of the home run right there. But then I guess he moved to Memphis for like a hot second, and he was playing with Howlin' Wolf and Sonny Boy Williamson too, whose real name is Rice Miller.
That's interesting.
Who knew? Is it? Yeah. And someone could be named Rice. I did not know this. But he came back to Chicago very briefly, right away, and he lived on South Ellis Avenue, and I guess his home was sort of like a kind of like a little stopover for a lot of the blues guys, you know, sort of like a central location.
Imagine the jam sessions there.
Yeah, one would think. And and his regular place for jams was the TikTok Lounge, playing with Otis Spann, the pianist. But then he left to join Muddy Waters' group. So Muddy Waters is very intrinsic to the man's history. And he did move back to Arkansas in 55 and kind of gave it up. But then Alan Lomax, the great sort of musicologist, found him in like 59 and recorded some more stuff for Atlantic. And then he was sort of going to make this comeback, come back to Chicago, sort of get in on the whole blues revival. And yeah, he was killed in a car accident.
Oh man, what year was that?
Flipped his truck. That was in 1960. He was coming back from a dance at Horseshoe Lake. Flipped his truck and he was killed like pretty instantly.
Man.
So yeah, he didn't get to cash in on that whole kind of like 60. I mean, he really didn't record all that much, but like, again, was spoken very highly of by his peers.
Now, boys, can't you see that ball of fire?
Now you see that Forest City Joe, someone, like you said, didn't record a ton, but when he did, it was great, and he was really revered among fellow blues players. But again, he's not the harmonica player that really is going to jump out at you, or a blues player that's like, oh yeah, I totally know Forest City Joe.
He didn't get that rep that like Sugar Blue got.
Yeah.
Shall we say? I mean, I guess there's not a ton of blues harmonica players who are known just for that. And he did sing as well. He had a kind of raw voice, too. But yeah, just didn't really get his props.
The harmonica, you know, doesn't always get its props, Steve.
It's true. I think a lot of people think, yeah, it's kind of an easy instrument to play and stuff. But when you hear a cat really blow, you're like, holy cow, you know, there's no way any layman could ever do that. It's hard. I mean, unless you are a flashy guy, kind of like Sugar Blue, and you play some like 20 octave range harmonica, you are not really going to get your I mean, you'll get a props as being a good harmonica player on top of what you already do, but yeah, not that many just on their own.
Right. It's not an easy instrument as someone who plays it. And, you know, I look at the like Forest City Joe, it's not an easy thing to do.
No.
But Sugar Blue, right, has that sort of next level. And Sugar Blue is still doing his thing.
Yeah.
All over Chicago and beyond.
Yeah, yeah, he's still at it. I mean, no, not to put down Sugar Blue. That guy.
No, oh no.
He's working it.
He did a residency at Roses for like years.
Yeah.
He still might be doing it. I don't know.
Have to check it out.
Have to do an outing.
Living legend.
That's right. Good old Sugar Blue right here in Chicago. Forest City Joe, but that's who you profile this week in the Secret History of Chicago Music. It is in the Chicago Reader, so pick up a copy. It's free. It's everywhere. It's out right now. Or check out ChicagoReader.com to see the story of Forest City Joe, who came up here to Chicago. Pretty cool blues harp player. I don't know. Maybe you got one more, winter blues in you, you think?
I'm thinking one more. It might be a little past the official date, but it's been such a weird winter. And there's just a couple more guys I wanted to sneak in if I can. So we will see.
We shall see. Steve Krakow, local musician, music historian, and artist. Thank you so much. And I would say stay warm, but who knows? It'll probably be warm again in a few days. I don't know.
Don't pack away your snow boots yet.
I hate to see the blue sunrise, man with tears standing in my eyes.
Yeah, some great blues from Forest City Joe. Thank you, Steve Krakow. Pick them up in the Chicago Reader and ChicagoReader.com, page 34 of the Reader in this week's edition. This is Outside the Loop. I'm Mike Steven. Don't go anywhere. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with more here on 720 WGN. Morning, 720 WGN. This is Outside the Loop, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. Mr. Fix It Show with Lou Manfredini coming up just after 7 o'clock. Right now, listening to some local music from the band Capital Soiree. You can check them out tomorrow. They will be over at Subterranean playing a show in Wicker Park, 8 p.m. Also, check them out online, soundcloud.com/Capital Soiree. Easy for me to say. Professional radio. Each week I love to feature local music. This week, hearing it from Capital Soiree. Earlier this week, I had the chance to head over to the Bucktown neighborhood in Chicago to meet up with the founder of a program that works with local schools to creatively really bring people together of all different backgrounds. It's really great. And we were standing outside of the Pulaski International School, and this is what it sounded like. It's a beautiful day here in Bucktown as we're standing outside of a school, the Pulaski School here in Bucktown, and I'm with Rich Alipak. He is a local artist, and he is the creator of a pretty cool social startup, he calls it. And I'm looking at this giant sign here that says, it's not a sign, it's letters that are big, and it says in Spanish, "Todos vivimos aquí." Rich, what does that mean?
It means we all live here in Spanish.
We all live here. This is the idea that you had to create this, and you call it a social startup. And tell us what this is. What is this all about?
Sure. So I felt like too many things have evolved unintentionally into reasons for people to not get along. And I wanted to create the opposite of that, an organization that really existed only to remind people to get along and help each other succeed. So We All Live Here uses art, community, and technology to remind everyone to get along and help each other succeed.
That's great. And so to get the attention paid to what you're doing, you created these, I keep saying signs, but it's not really signs. They're big letters. In this case, it's in Spanish, but at the other end of the block here, it's in English. Tell us what this movement is.
Yeah, so these signs on the fences here at Pulaski, this was the first school that took part in our ACT program. And ACT stands for Art, Community, and Technology. And what I wanted to try to do when I worked with schools was inspire these kids to remember that we're all human, that we all live here, that we should be nice to each other and we should treat each other responsibly. And so this program comes to schools and I teach kids basic graphic design in an assembly format. And then I teach the kids about crowdfunding and community building. And what we do is the kids together with me design a logo for their school's project. And then we put that onto products that the parents can buy and local businesses can carry. And then we bring these projects to life, like these signs on this fence. And then we have an unveiling ceremony, which is an excuse to have a party and get the whole neighborhood to rally around the signs. And yeah, it's really just a good, positive, inclusive movement.
That's great. And you said this is your 50th school?
Yeah, this was the very first one. But yeah, this week we just crossed over our 50th school to sign up as part of the program. So it's pretty amazing. I've only been doing this full time since last April. So I thought it would take a lot longer than that to get schools. But, you know, given the current political climate and stuff like that, my phone sort of started ringing off the hook.
I can imagine. And I think it's great because each sign's a little bit different. The school, each school has some input into the design of these particular signs. And your story is pretty interesting, too, because, like you said, you've been doing this not a terribly long time. What were you doing before?
Yeah, so I have a career in advertising and technology. I started my professional life, I guess, when I was still in college. I started a company called FindAPlaceToLive.com. I grew that to be the official fundraiser of the American Marketing Association. So 323 different collegiate campuses used that software as a way to raise money for their student organization. And then I got into the advertising world and I worked at places like Tumblr, which is where I worked when I started this blog, which was what this movement initially was. I thought of the phrase, a block north of here is a garage that's a white brick garage that in the 11 years I've lived in this neighborhood has never been tagged or graffitied or anything. And so I started playing this silly little thought game, because that's what advertising teaches you to do.
Yeah.
And I started to wonder, what could I write on that wall that if I wrote it on the wall, maybe it wouldn't have to be removed? And We All Live Here hit me one day and I thought, wow, income equality, gender equality, racial equality, even environmental issues. And so I proceeded to start to find out if other people would care about the phrase. And I took some signs that I printed to Lollapalooza and Pitchfork the summer of 2015. And I started just going up to strangers and saying, hey, will you hold these signs while I take your picture? And luckily, hundreds of people did at Pitchfork and thousands of people did at Lollapalooza. And I put those on a blog on Tumblr. Tumblr miraculously featured the blog, which is impossible to do if you're an employee. And I ended up with thousands of followers in a week. And I started waking up to people from all over the world saying, keep doing what you're doing. I love this message.
So you've got a stack of papers here that you just pulled out of your bag. And these papers are done by children. There are some art projects here. Tell us what this stack of papers is.
Yeah, so these are from Hibbard School, which is a school in Albany Park. And what's really wild about that school is they're across the street from a school called Edison and a school that's in the Albany Park Multicultural Building. And so these different three campuses are all collaborating on a super We All Live Here, which I think is a really cool thing, especially in, you know, today's climate where schools are kind of at odds with each other, whether they're a charter school or a public school or whatever. Well, these three schools just happen to be on the same block. And so these drawings are done by this was an assembly. They did two assemblies because they have 1,100 kids at their school. So we're looking at pictures done by first through eighth graders. And I mean, you start to see some of these images and you start to see people holding hands in the globe and hearts. And you realize that these kids kind of have this stuff figured out and that us adults have gotten lost.
I mean, they're beautiful stacks of papers here. And you're right. From what you are showing me here, I mean, they get it. This message is really resonating with them.
Yeah, they're really excited in these assemblies, and it's crazy because I didn't know how I would be received, right? You never know what you're going to see when you come into a classroom, but the kids are really on board with this, and they really get excited. And so it really, you know, surprises me when these kids send me these pictures, and I see their work, and together we collaborate on a logo that represents the project at their school. And then the kids are really excited. It makes them believe more in the phrase, and hopefully then that helps them to internalize it and then use that message in their own lives.
I think it's great that, you know, that message is taken into a classroom, because that is really at the core of everything. I mean, that's the next generation. And to have that positive message, and really, you know, inclusion's a great thing. Like, let's learn how to live together and celebrate the differences and respect the differences as well. But I think that sometimes we don't know how to live together. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I think in this case, We All Live Here includes everyone. That's what the phrase means, and I just want everyone to remember that. But the students, I hope, are learning how to internalize this phrase and what it means, so that they have a way of combating racism or hatred in a way that's more powerful than arguing. So if you have a racist grandfather or a bad uncle or a bad neighbor saying racist thoughts to you, instead of you telling that person they're wrong, hopefully these kids will now have the ability to have the dialogue where they just say, look, Grandpa, we all live here. And they can leave it hang in the air. And that's a really powerful thing when it comes from a young kid.
I totally agree. Hey, if we want to check this out online, do you have a website up and running where we can see this?
I do. It's weallliveheproject.com. And then our Instagram account is probably the best way to keep up to date with us. And it's just We All Live Here.
All right. We all live here. We certainly do. It's a powerful message. And Rich Alipak is behind it. He is the founder of this social startup. And I think it's a great idea. And again, just seeing all the kids come out of Pulaski School here in Bucktown, it is powerful when they walk by this sign that says we all live here. And we do. And I think it's something for us to think about. It's great work going on here in Chicago. Rich, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You got it. This is Outside the Loop. I'm Mike Steven here in Bucktown. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on 720 WGN. Mike Steven here with you on 720 WGN, wrapping up Outside the Loop. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Andy for producing and Veronica for doing news and Bob Ferguson for being our engineer. And of course, thanks to Lou Manfredini, because I'm right on time. I don't know where Lou is. Where is Lou? Earth to Lou. No? Nope. No, there's no Lou. There we go. There's Lou.
I was doing that the whole time.
Where were you?
I was right here.
Oh, hi.
The whole time. Hi.
How you doing?
I'm great. What's the matter?
I don't know.
You sound a little.
Like what?
I don't know. You sound a little, I don't know, like you're preoccupied. You got something on your mind?
Yep, just trying to figure out how I'm going to care for a new human being.
Oh, did we make an announcement?
We made an announcement this morning, Lou.
Congratulations. I'm so happy for you.
You sound like you're very happy.
No, I am. Well, you know, the thing is, you're such a dork because you told me last week.
I did.
And I'm super excited for you, and your beautiful bride.
Thank you.
And your son. I'm sure he's going to be so excited.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, you know, I haven't really said anything to anybody. I'm like, oh, okay. So I immediately texted your wife. And I'm like, oh my gosh, congratulations. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
My lips are sealed. And she's like, oh, well, I've already told work and this and that. And I'm like, well, why am I pretending like I got to be so quiet? Because your dorky husband said, oh, don't say anything.
Well, that's because I didn't release
it. You were worried
radio
I was going to say something on the radio, right?
Right. No. I felt it would be kind of weird if you announced it before I announced it.
Right. And then your mother was like, why is it that Lou's announcing that you're having a baby and you didn't call me?
I mean, I know you've known Lou for a long time, but anyway, I should probably hand it off to you now.
And wait, real quick.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, you're of that generation.
I am.
And you may have talked about this morning, but I didn't hear it. Are we finding out, or are we going to be surprised?
We are going to find out.
Oh.
We are going to find out. We found out with Mikey. We're going to find out with this one.
It's a whole generation thing.
Yeah, I know. My parents didn't find out.
Yeah, we didn't. I take that back. We did with Max, who's now almost 16.
Oh, God. He's so old.
Right. Like, Mike and I go so far back that, and you remember this promo, don't you? The one you did with Max?
Oh, when I recorded him. Yeah.
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 We did a promo. I have to find it. I have it somewhere.
That's gold.
You probably have it, too.
I do. I'll find it.
You got to find it, then. You'll probably find it better than me. But Max is 2 years old.
Yeah.
And Mike recorded individual words. Were we in like Lyle Dean's studio?
I think we were.
In Northbrook or something?
I don't know. I think you're right.
Yeah. And so that is, we're talking 13 years ago.
Yeah, pretty much.
Almost 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And Mike had Max read, say these words, and then you strung them all together. And it sounds like this two-year-old is having a complete conversation.
He's completely fluent in English.
Right. So we did find out with Max, because we knew that was going to be our last one.
Yeah,
but, and I know Lindsay found out with both of your children that knew they were girls, but that's fine. What, you didn't?
No, she didn't. Like I said, she didn't.
What do you mean you didn't find out?
Hey, Lou.
You didn't know Sadie was going to be a girl? Really? It's like we don't even know each other.
You know, I'm supposed to go have a meeting with Stephanie, our boss, right now, and we're a little
she's awake?
She's here.
Wow.
Yeah, allegedly. Maybe she
slept. I thought
they
never listened to this show.
Hopefully they're not listening today.
Veronica's already left. She's prepping for the 7:30 news.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, Veronica.
I'm just going to combine the two.
It'll be longer. All right. Love you, Mike.
Love you.
And I love you. Thank you so much for listening to Outside the Loop. I'll talk to you again next time right here on 720 WGN.